But this being the ninth day of February 2025, I want to do part two of this lesson number six, the wisdom of a good reputation. The wisdom of a good reputation. This is part number two. And we looked at last Sunday, we looked at the first section of this lesson where we looked at character, a good reputation in the eyes of God. And we were looking at that last week. We got down to where character is a good reputation in the eyes of God. And I want you to understand something today. That character is how God sees us. Man sees us one way. God sees us all the way. He sees everything about us. And you know what? We can't hide anything from God, can we? Can't hide from God. There's no way we can do that. I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 2 this morning. We're in the book of Proverbs, but I want to start here today in the book of Romans, chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 2, verse number 11. And I want you to remember something today. Every one of us, we all began on equal footing with God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, okay? There's no great big sinners and no little sinners. Why? Because we have all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Now, you may not have sinned as much as I did. I may not have sinned as badly as you did, but we are all sinners. We may not all sin alike, but we are all like sinners. And I want you to understand something. Today, from Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11, I want you to see what God says in His Word. He said, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Now, when I grew up, you know, you showed respect to elders, okay, to folks that were older than you, okay? You always showed respect. You're supposed to do that even today, okay? All right? Because I'm one of those, and I'm looking forward to getting some, okay? All right? I'm getting there, all right? I want to get some respect from somebody. But you know what? Respect is something that is earned. It's earned. It's earned. But God is no respecter of persons. There's no respect of persons with God. God doesn't look at one person and say, well, I'll love them because they're better than this person. I won't love them as much. No, that's not the situation with God. And the Bible even tells us, as it is written, there is none righteous. N-O-N-E, none, zero, nil, nada, okay? There are none righteous. No, not one. And my question before I got saved was, well, why am I not righteous with God? Why am I not? I'm as good as the next guy over here. I'm as good as Steve over here in school or Joe over here in school or Susie or whoever. I'm just as good as they are. But what I didn't realize was that all have sinned. The answer is in that same chapter. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, here's the reason. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we are all level on God's playing ground, so to speak. It's all the same for us. And you know, the thing about it is, total depravity marks the character of every person born into this world. There's none of us. Nobody had to teach us how to lie or to cheat or to disobey or anything like that. It was bred in us to do that. Our parents had the job of trying to teach us to do right, okay, to do the right things. And boy, that's a job sometimes. That's a hard chore to do. But you know, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 reminds us of something. And I want you to look at this today. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, that reminds us. It says, but we are all, A-L-L. Now, what does all mean? Everybody, total, none left out. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In other words, God said, listen, all your good works and all your good deeds, in my eyes, They're as filthy rags. Now, why is that? Because as we look before in the book of Romans, we've all come short of the glory of God. There is nothing I can do, nothing I can do to make myself better, good enough to be able to go to heaven. And let me tell you something today. If there was something that I could do physically, okay, being a good person, helping my neighbor, doing good deeds, going to a certain church or being a certain denomination or giving a certain amount of money to the church or whatever, if any of those things could get me to heaven, there would have been no need for God to send His Son Jesus into this world to die upon the cross for you and for me. There had been no He just said, well, you be a good person. You obey the Ten Commandments and all the law. How many of you have ever broken the law? Now, don't some of you look at me so pious now. You're looking around at your spouse there. Did I do that? Yeah, we've all sinned, okay? All right? And listen, we're as guilty. If we offend in one point, we're guilty of all, okay? And you know what? We are all guilty of that. So character is a good reputation in the eyes of God. But the fact is, we're all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses, all of our good works are as filthy rags. And look at what the rest of the verse says. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, that word is a big word for sins, our wrongdoings, our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. It's taken us all away. We're on level ground with God. But listen to this. All of us, each of us that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we also now all stand on equal ground with God. We are all children of God through the new birth, through accepting Christ by faith in our hearts, believing His word, believing His promise, accepting Him as our Savior. He has made us to be His child. And we're all on the same level with God there as well. God doesn't love me more than He loves anybody else. He doesn't love you more than He does me. But you know what? He loves us all the same. He gives us the same opportunity to serve Him. Now I want you to go back to the book of Romans chapter 5 just a moment. And I want you to see this. Oh, this is such a great truth. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. It's not through our good works. It's not through our church affiliation. It's not through our bank account or anything else. You know, ladies, it's not through your good looks. Guys, it's not through your good looks either, because many of us wouldn't get to go on that fact, okay? It's not on intelligence. It's not on anything like that. We have been made to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that great? So now God wants every one of His children to demonstrate by a godly lifestyle, by a godly life, a godly reputation. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to demonstrate that we do indeed have the character of God now living in us through the sweet Holy Spirit that now indwells us as a believer. Do you understand that today? That doesn't make us better than anybody else. It doesn't make us better at all. But it shows the fact that we belong to Him. And you know what? This is a choice that's made by every believer. But that choice should not be a difficult one to make. If God so loved us, we ought to love Him. Listen, my wife loves me, and I don't have trouble loving her. I don't have that trouble. Now, there are days, you know, that she may not be as sweet and kind as she ought to be, bless her heart. Yeah. She's only human, okay? And the same thing with me, all right? I'm not always the sweet, lovable guy that I try to be every day. We all wake up, you know, grumpy. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you ever wake up grumpy? I said, no, man, I let her sleep. I let her sleep. But listen, we all have days like that. But you know what? Listen, because I belong to her and she belongs to me, we love one another. And you know what? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And he gave himself for us that we might be the children of God, the children of righteousness. And it's a choice. I want you to look at this a moment, this choice. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This clarifies this choice, okay? And Paul asked this question. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That little S-P-I-R-I-T. That's basically talking about our attitude. The way that we live. We're to glorify God, not only in our body, but in our spirit, our attitude, which are God's. We're to glorify him in all that we do. We're to have a good reputation. Now, I want you to look at this today. I want us to look at the essence of character that Solomon observed in the book of Proverbs. He mentioned many things about this. Now, I want you to go back now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, this book of wisdom we're looking at. Solomon, the man that God gave all this great wisdom to, for you and for me, for himself, for his family, for everybody. I want you to see what he said here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 5. He said, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Now here, the righteousness or the righteous actions indeed of the perfect. Now that's not meaning that we're sinless, okay? We're not sinless. We're not sinless. I want to say that one more time. We are not sinless. But we are maturing in the Lord. We are matured. We are growing up in the Lord. We're upright. We're to be upright and spiritually mature in the power of the Lord God. And he declares here what God has done for him. And what has God done? God said, listen, I will direct your path. I will set your feet on the right in the right direction to go in this life. By doing everything that you do in your life, I want to be the one that directs you and leads you and guides you. And so we see that it's salvation that makes the difference in our life. When we come to know Christ as our own personal Savior, that's what makes the initial difference. And then in turn, salvation produces good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works. Amen? Is that not what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 say? If you look at that, that's what we're saved by faith in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? But we are saved to do good works for him and to let other folks know that. And this personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus is the essence of the character that Solomon is describing here. Now I want you to look at the effects of character that Solomon observed here. Look down in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 20. Look at this just a moment. He said, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Now let me ask you something this morning. Are you a delight unto the Lord today? Are you a delight unto the Lord? Am I a delight unto the Lord? Does the Lord delight in the way I live, in the way that I live for Him? Does He delight in that? Is He happy with that? Man, that's a question that searches our hearts, does it not? It ought to search our hearts. And if you're allowing, if we are allowing the sweet Holy Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us and to direct us in all of our paths, then we are indeed a delight unto the Lord. We're doing what God said do. We're to live differently than we did before we got saved. God delights to see His children living righteously. Listen, how many of you got children and grandchildren? Doesn't it always just thrill your heart when they do what's right? Nobody wants them to do wrong. Man, I don't want them to do wrong. But children are children, okay? They got their mother's genes and they got my genes. You know, they're starting out on a bad foot right there, okay? All right? They can't help it. And you know what? They have to be taught to do right. But when they do it because it's in their heart to do it, man, it just tickles me to death. This morning when I took Precious out to do her business, it was cool. It wasn't really cold, but I mean, it was cool. And there were slick places on the driveway, and I'm thinking, sweetheart, do not pull Daddy down today, okay? All right, don't pull Daddy down. Because Daddy got to get up, okay? And that's a hard thing sometimes. And she went out, and she did her thing. She looked at me, just wagged her tail like, I'm going back inside. And I was delighted in that little dog. I was just delighted in her. But you know what? The Lord delights when we just choose to do what is right in His eyes. When we choose to obey His word, when we choose to trust Him, when we don't know what else to do, and we choose to trust Him and to obey Him, man, He delights in that fact. I want you to go down to Solomon, something here that he wrote in Proverbs chapter 28. Look in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18. Oh, man, this is a great verse. Proverbs 28, 18, it said this, whoso, and that means whoever you are, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Or rather, what he's saying here, it's proving that you are saved. You are, he said, man, that person's saved. I can tell by their walk. I can tell by the way they're doing things with God. They know Christ as their Savior. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. What is he saying? Solomon here is implying that spiritual direction and godly success in life are the rewards to those who are saved, while only failure and destruction follow those who are not saved. Oh, you say, but they've got money, they got a big car, they got a big house, they got this, they got that. But let me remind you of something. When each of us were born, we came into this world with nothing. And when a person dies, and that soul enters eternity, the house that they've acquired, the big bank accounts they've acquired, the fancy cars that they've acquired, the fame and fortune of this world that they've gained is not going with them. And it's sure not going to get them into the gates of heaven. And folks, listen, there's only one way to know that you can be saved and know that you're going to heaven when you die. And that is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks here. He said, listen, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. In other words, they're proving the fact that he is saved. He's doing what God said do. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. And you know, God has promised this all throughout His Word. As far back as with Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. The Old Testament book of Joshua chapter 1. God gave Joshua a promise. And look what this promise was. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know how you spell success? Let me tell you how you spell success. In the eyes of God, you spell success C-H-A-R-A-C-T-E-R. A godly character. That's how you have success with God. We live for God. And what you love and what you hate reveal what you are in this life. Now you think about it. What we love and what we hate reveals what we truly are in this life. A good reputation in the eyes of God. But now, secondly, I want to get down to the second point today, and this is where I want to finish the lesson out. I want us to look at integrity. Integrity. Okay? Integrity. A good reputation in the eyes of men. We not only are supposed to have a good reputation, good character in the eyes of God because we belong to Christ. We've been saved. We've been birthed into His family. But we're to have a good reputation in the eyes of men. Sad to say, in our world today, I've heard this said on many occasions. Well, if he's a Christian, then the woods are full of them. I've heard that said. They look at a person, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they do things that proclaims to know Christ as their Savior. And they say, well, man, if he's a Christian, the woods are full of them. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but most lost folks have higher expectations of Christians than what Christians have for themselves. Lost folks, I've talked to them. I talk to them every week. And you know what? They say, well, aren't you supposed to go to church every week, every Sunday? And don't y'all read your Bible? Don't you pray? You don't say bad words, do you? I mean, these are things that lost people say. Why? Because they expect Christians to be different. And yet, many folks who say, I love the Lord, say it out of one side of their mouth while they're doing something else on the other side of their mouth. It ought not be that way. We also need to have a good reputation among men. And they need to see the integrity of Christ in our lives. Now, I want us to see this today. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 again. And we're in verse number 3 here today. Proverbs 11, verse number 3. Look at what he said. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Now, here we see that the writer of the book of Proverbs wanted his son to know that those who have a good reputation before God should also live with integrity in their life. And folks, that's a great truth for us to understand today. We're not going to be perfect. But you know what? I can honestly say my wife is the best wife I've ever had. Not just because she's the only wife I've ever had, but because she loves me. She prays for me. Man, when I've had a hard day or a stressful day or something like that, I come home and you know, she wants to be that completer. Ladies, let me remind you something. When you marry that hunk that you love so much, okay? When we got married, I was her hunk. 44 years later, I'm her chunk, okay? All right? But I'm still hers. All right? But you listen to me, ladies. When you get married and you marry that man, you either become his completer or you become his finisher. It's one of the two. It can't be both. And men, you listen to me today. You may not be perfect, but God sees you as his great high priest of the home. You're the one that is going to be held responsible for your home. And we've got to lead righteously. We have to love our family, our wife, our children, as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. And folks, we have to walk the right way to be able to do that. Walk in the Word of God. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. And here, I want you to understand that when a person places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives them a right standing in his sight. Okay? He has washed away that sin. He has made us to be what we could not be in ourselves. But you know what? The child of God will only gain the respect of others as a child of God when the righteous acts that we do, the things that we know that God wants us to do, we choose to do them with a grateful heart. And we serve the Lord with an attitude of gratitude. We live for him because of what he's done for us. He changed our lives. Listen, when I got saved, I'm still not perfect. But I don't want to do the things I did before I got saved. I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm bearing now his testimony. I bear his name upon my life. And if folks say, well, there's a preacher that's cussing and fussing and chasing other women and all this other stuff, but that's not a good reputation to have. And I don't want to be that way. And so God wants us to say with our lives what we say we believe in our hearts. And that's why he wants us to do that. Now, what are the ingredients of integrity? Look what he said here in this verse, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. That word here for upright describes one who is straight. Literally, in our world today, okay, we're straight. Not crooked, okay? Straight, not crooked, and correct in his actions. And he puts the emphasis not on what the person is, but rather on what the person does, okay? Now, you can have a title, anything you want to be. You can have a certain title, but unless you fulfill the role of that title, it does you no good to bear that title, does it? To be a Christian means to be Christ-like, of Christ, born of his family. The Bible describes different men all through the Bible, but one that stuck out in my mind was the man named Job. Do you remember him? He had to suffer a lot of things. But I want you to look at something special in the book of Job, chapter 1. And I want you to look in verse number 1, the very first verse of that chapter. Job chapter 1, verse number 1. Look at what it said. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. In other words, he was spiritually mature and he was doing that which God wanted him to do. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now this word upright, okay, describes his reputation with God. But it also describes how Job's friends and acquaintances knew Job to be. They knew him to be a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He spit it away from him. Okay? When you sneeze, you say, achoo! Okay? Or some of you may do worse than that, whatever. But it is pushing it away. Doesn't want to have anything to do with evil. And you can see that same description, again, given of Job, then in verse number 8 of chapter 1. And again, in chapter 2, verse number 3, you can see God's description of his servant Job. And so when we look at these things, I want you to see that integrity is based upon both the fear of God as well as a hatred for evil and the evil way of living. Listen, All these folks in our land that have cheated and stolen, you know, we got politicians today that are cheating and stealing everywhere you look. You know, they're given a salary, okay? Some of them probably given a salary of probably, I don't know, $175,000, $200,000 a year. I don't know. I don't know how much they make. And yet, when you go and you type into Google, what is the net worth of this person, that person? And they're saying, oh, they've got millions in the bank. Millions in the bank. Where'd it come from? You know what? There's been some evil things going on. Listen, you see it all the time. Bank executives, okay? They let their people go, but they give themselves raises and bonuses and all these other things. Company businesses. We see this type of living all the time. And folks, that ought not to be. Folks need to see something that's real in our lives. They need to see Christ. He's the one that's real. And the type of reputation that we bear before men today lets them know really what we do love and what we hate. I hate this evil that's going on in our land. But you know what? Those folks that do evil, I was praying this morning for some of our leaders in our land. God, they're wicked. God, they've done awful things. And Lord, you know what? If they would just get saved, they wouldn't do those things anymore. They need to be saved. We need to pray that God would change their heart. Listen, politics is not going to change our world today. A right relationship with God will change our world today. And folks need to know that Christ is real. It's been said that people are known by seven basic factors in life. Let me give them to you just a moment. Factor number one, what we most want in life. What do you most want in this life? What we think about most in our life. How we use our money in this life. The company that we keep and enjoy being around in this life. Who and what we admire the most. And let me say this. I know I've heard tonight is football night. Okay? I don't care who's singing or whatever they're doing. I don't know who it is. I don't care to know who it is. I'm not worried about that. I don't admire these folks. I don't admire them. But listen to me today. Who and what we admire most in this world has an effect on our lives. Who we want to be like. Okay? When I was growing up, I always wanted to be like Tarzan. I kid you not. I carried a knife, okay? I didn't have a little monkey with me. I had a little dog with me, but you know what? I thought, man, Tarzan's got it made. Nobody but him and Cheetah, okay? And he can conquer anybody. He can call the elephants. He can do whatever he needs to be done. He was my hero. Tarzan was my hero. But you know what? When I got saved, I found some heroes in the Word of God. And I saw how they came through the storms. And I saw how they lived their lives for God. And though they were just men, they had placed their faith and trust in the God who had saved them and done great things for them. And that's who I want to be like. Folks, and the last thing is this, what we laugh at. These are seven ingredients in integrity today. Hey, listen, you know what? My heart got filled with the joy of the Lord the day I got saved. And He gave me a dose that can't help it. So I just want to tell everybody so that they can know Jesus as their Savior. I want everybody to know. There's also the impact of integrity. And I want to share this with you before we close this morning. Some 16 times throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon uses this word upright. The word upright to discuss the wisdom of a good reputation. And in chapter 11 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 20, he said this. He said, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. but such as are upright in their way are his delight. When we are willing to do things God's way, we are a delight unto the Lord. Amen? We're a delight unto the Lord. Sometimes I have to give advice to folks from the Word of God. And sometimes folks will be willing to accept that advice, and sometimes they won't be willing to accept that advice. But you know what makes the difference? When they come back to you and they say, you know what? Preacher, you were right. And man, I'm thankful that you told me the truth. I'm thankful that you gave me what God's Word said. And you know what? God is blessed because I did what God said. That's the way we're supposed to look at things. Look back over at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8. Proverbs 15, 8. He said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. When we go to God and we begin to pray for one another, and we pray for those that need to be saved, we become a delight unto God. And that's the way we ought to be. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 7. And look what Solomon wrote. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. He, now that's referring to God, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. You know what Solomon's saying there? He's saying, son, listen, God has laid up sound wisdom for you. All you got to do is come and look for it. All you got to come and do is just take what you need. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And Solomon here is saying, God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Man, when I had this hip surgery done, I had to have something to lean on, okay? And I'm thankful I had that walker. And I graduated up to a cane, all right? Then I graduated to the wall. I just walk along the wall. And now I can walk without that. But in times of stress, in times of need, man, sometimes you just need that buckler. And the Lord God is that buckler for them that walk uprightly. You need somebody to lean on. He's the one. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. Look at this one real quick. I want to share this with you. Proverbs 11, 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Boy, we see that in our nation today, do we not? The Bible still says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And folks, we need to have the righteousness of God in our lives. It's by the blessing of the upright that the city is exalted. And God wants to bless. God wants to help us. But we've got to do what's right. The last part of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 says this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 27. The last part of that verse says this. He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. The world may not like us standing for God. But let me remind you something. God likes it. And we're not here to please the world. We're here to please God. And God wants us to be a delight in His eyes. Never forget, child of God, it is the one who has saved you, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved you, who has given you His righteous testimony to bear in this wicked world for Him. You and I are to be salt, and we're to be light in a dark world of sin. And you know what? The Bible is right when he said that the wisdom of God is a good reputation. Let's bear a good reputation for God today. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these lessons that we've been going through. And Lord, as we start the next one in this series next Sunday, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to have pure hearts and to understand, dear God, that You want us to live for you. You want us to bear a good testimony for you. And Father, we can only do that when we come to know you as our own personal Savior. And Lord, if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that does not yet know you as their own personal Savior, I pray, dear God, that today would be the day that they would come to see their need to be saved, and they would be willing to call upon your name and believe you with all their heart and trust you as their Savior. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach to us. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.